broke down.
Oh, the whole thing?
Yes, that broke. It went through all that, and then through the bumming and the bamming around in the sea we had, what we had to live in when the house burned, was what was called a packing house.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to pack oranges, used to pack tomatoes there years ago. But we had the and they had put fertilizer in, and we had to scrub and scrape and clean it out. But we went into it, we slept in there. Beds that we saved from the fire, we used them. And all the clothes that we had was the clothes we had on out of that. And that happened on the 9th day of March 31.
31?
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we lived in that until we got, well, Willie, he had his family to take care of with his little bit of war salary he got, and Martin and Monroe, though, they sent home so much of their check, you know, every month. And then when Frankie, I told him, laughing, tell him, like, wore him out, send him back and forth from home, Camp Blandon, and back home. Then they wasn't satisfied. They sent him to Great Lakes. And he said he felt like he was a lost show when he got it might gross death in May. I imagine I found that big lake, though, and that naval base out pretty cool. And well, he said he got so cold up there till there was a fella quite a bit bigger than he was. He had his pea coat, they call him, you know, big old thick coats. He had that on. This fella was so much bigger than he was till he put his on him. And he was about to freeze to death. And he wasn't stout like he is now.
Hmm.
No, he hadn't had much weight until the last year, so has he?
No, sir, you see, he's been quit smoking now 3 years, this 31st this July gone.
And that's made a difference.
Yes, it's made a difference all the way around. He's gaining weight, and he looks better. And I know he feels better. And I noticed, too, as long as he smoked, and the morning's no sooner, you can tell when he's getting up, no sooner his feet hit the bed. Hack, 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 hack.
That's coffee.
Mm-hmm. And he kept on a cough. Cough. And finally, Margaret got him them. I don't think he used all of them himself. Since he gave Monroe some with Willie some of them. Monroe, he'd take them, go right on and smoke. But he's still smoking. Willis quit. Martin quit for 2-3 years. Went back.
Yeah.
And smoking cigars, you know.
Yeah.
He said they got too costly. Smoking that. He went back to his cigarettes, and he's smoking now. I was so afraid when they said he had to go to the hospital, you know, for a checkup, x-rays and all, that probably going to be cancer that was bothering him. But they haven't really decided yet where it was, gallstone or kidney. kidney stones. But he said the day that Rocky married, he saw a pair of kidney stones. See, he was best man, you know, to his son's wedding. And I tell you, if I'd had gone many more days of worrying and fretting about this wedding, he said maybe I'd have passed all in kidney stones. But I'm a little afraid now from what Debbie told Aunt Margaret last night that it must be gallstones instead of kidney stones. Well, either one of them bad. But when you go to cutting and temple on that gallbladder, no. They find something else. I hope and trust so they don't. And Monroe's got to go back in. Even again today for a checkup. Martin has been had his. He's going to the hospital for, I reckon, the real thing. Tears. Going in tears. And I think he's going to operate on him on Wednesday. I don't know. I can't hear over the phone good enough to tell what this say, you know, and if it ain't good and clear and everything on both ends of the line is clear, I can't hear them sound like they're down way down in the garage small change room.
Yeah.
That's just the way they sound.
Well, half the time, you know, they don't really looking into the telephone when they talk.
And oh, hold the phone and got the mouth where they should be talking, his way out yonder. And my sister called last night. She's got sickness in her family now. Both of her daughters are sick. And
well, goodness.
But she's right that close to what she wants. Wait on one, run wait on the other one.
Yeah. Well, that's lucky, isn't it?
Yes. And I've got two girls and they're right there close to us. It get too rough and rowdy for it one place, you go to the other and stay a while. That gets a little dissatisfied. But her son-in-law is building her little frame house. One trailer is down that way and the other one's back this way. They're going to build her little frame house here. Well, the road goes down that way, it goes to Connie's. That's the youngest girl. Well, the road comes in from the main road. It comes into Bobby's and Connie's too, but Connie's goes on past. I told Rosie that was kind of like laying off, you was quilting and you was laying off the quilting shelves. I said, they both come from the main road. Get up there, Bobby, she turns and goes in that way. Well, you see, it makes that curve just like you start to hit the edge of the quilt. Come on up. Make your curve for your shell, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've quilted, I know.
Yeah.
And then right where it turns in here, goes Bobby, Connie's comes on here, and that makes that end of the shell come all around here, so that's two shells. Come shell and one next to it. And then she's going to be right in the in the little corner.
I'm trying to, yeah. I'm just trying to picture that, because you know I've never been over there.
But you know, I was talking about building the house. We lived in this old cotton house and place, packing house. And on the north side of it, you had a place for a buggy, they call it the buggy shed.
Yeah.
And Uncle Martin, in his time, he always kept his mowing machine back in that end of it. And this cutaway hair, you know what, there's a, had that thing. Well, you bring your buggy in, and you hook the shafts up that way. Well, maybe there'd be a little room back here for something. But still, the buggy would be protected from rain coming from the east, say. So that would all go down. And I tore up, fixed. And we came and put a flooring in it. Like here was the other room. We cut a hole in the side of it, that room, building. And here was the, so here was the floor to that. Well, no, heavy floor to that. I would step out of this room down in there, built the buggy shed floor up a little higher, you see. And that was 31. On about 32, 34. Well, we lived in that house. It's a 46. The old cotton houses we called it, packing house. We lived in that, but during that time, my little girl had measles and double pneumonia. She died in 34, I believe it was, in March. And then we, after she passed away, Frank finally got a little help from Mr. Edwards over at the mill, get some lumber and stuff. He built a front porch, and then where the porch come at the door here, he went past this door and made a door and made a little shed room there. Now that's what we had to live in, sleep in, and stay in till 46.
Till 46? Well, I didn't realize that.
Yes, 45. We lived there at 45 because boys all come home 46, right? We had the house, the new house built. Then we're taking the stuff out of the house, carried it to a barn. I don't know whether there's two barns up by them or not. But anyway, it had one big barn up off the ground, good roof on it. And packed everything we could in there. And then the old smokehouse and storeroom out from the house that burned. Kind of blistered it on the side. Didn't burn none of it. And then in May of 45, I believe it was. No. 40. Willie? No. Martin. And Ike Mixon went in service in 42. Willie, he went over to Brunson to work in that bomb shell place over there, him and Frankie.
I know that was Archer.
Archer, I mean, no? Yeah, Bronson. But it was Archer.
Yeah.
And then they called Willie in for good, you know. Well, he got all, the biggest portion of all of his training up there at Camp Blandy. Well, Frankie worked on over there for a while. And John was at 43, with Martin and I mixed in 42. because Bobby's oldest girl was born in 42. And Monroe went in for Willie did. Yeah. Monroe went in 43. I think. Anyway, Martin had been in there 2 years before Monroe went in. And then Willie went in. And then that summer, I think, Willie went left Camp Blandy. I guess he went to New York to get wherever he was going to go to. We didn't see Willie anymore till he come home on leave back in 44, I believe it was. Yeah, well, he come back on leave, same year that, well, they turned Frankie down, and they gave him his must-not take, you see. And, well, the Army didn't want him anymore, because it didn't take him off, he said. And in that way, he was gone. Come on, Pop.
That's the way mine does. Well, you know, that you practically brought those boys up. They was growing up while you lived in that packing shed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, Monroe went in 13.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't see how you remember.
All through the 30s now, when they was growing up and working those in those choofers and all out there and hoeing the cotton, you all were living in that packing shed, weren't you?
Yes, until Frankie went to come back. Given his discharge, he could, Uncle Sam said he couldn't use him, so he sent him back home. He'd taken his musconite pay and what we had collected of his pay that from different ones he had worked for before he went off. Around $200 that we had collected in from places where he'd worked. And I think he sends his money from over that bomb shelter. See, Willie was still working over there. Frankie was still working over there while Willie was getting his training in Camp Blanca. And he got that. And they I can't remember what this musconite pay was, but wasn't too much. He come home with that, he told his daddy, he said, Daddy, he says, I'm going to take what money I've got. With your help, says, we're going to build us a house. Daddy says, well, son, says, the lumber was so high and all. So he says, I have thought about it. He says we can put a little money in some new lumber and more tin. Says we can just stick what's in that house and pack it out there in the barn, in the storeroom, smokehouse, and even in the stalls out
there. Sure.
Get a house built. And his daddy lay there and he talked to me at night. He said, that poor child is going to worry himself to death about a house. So when Martin and Monroe sent $39 home of his monthly wages, you know, from the Navy. But Martin's Navy too, but he sent me 50, I believe it was. And at that time, we were getting a little help from that relief. Well, welfare then, it was relief, you know.
Yeah.
And after they found out, we had two boys. Well, I ain't going to lie to none of them. I'll tell you the truth right now. I ain't going to lie to none. They come out there picking around Frankie and I'm Frank and asking, well, you don't get no help from your boys? He said, yes, ma'am. Says, I get $39 from my youngest son. Says, he comes to me, and that's what my youngest son sends me, $39 a month. Is anybody else send you? And she come back out there again later on. She says, Mr. Chitty says, I never thought to mention it. How many boys have you got in service that could be sending you a little help? He says, well, he says, I got three in service, says, but one's got a family. That's my oldest son. He's got to look out for his wife and child. He says, now, my third son says, he sends money home to his mother. Told her she wanted to use it, and if she didn't, to put it in the bank. She says, oh, if that's the way it is, says, well, you're just getting help from the youngest one. He says, yes, ma'am. So see, in that way, we did not tell them no lie, but Mom has sent money home to me. And I could, but wanted to, put it in the bank. And Monroe bought three, he said he bought three, how you go, bonus stamps?
Yes,
yeah, it's connected with war, say.
Yes. Yes.
I think he said he had bought three, but we never did give but two of them. And Martin says, yes, says, I was fixing to sink some of my money in that. Says, and I heard a fellow say he'd heard from his mother saying, you told me you had sent so many bonds, home. She says, well, I haven't got but one. Says, you better get them in there and get them hunting up, see what happened to them others. So Martin said that kind of cooked him of getting them bonds, you know, bonds. And then Frank started to, buy some bonds too, but Martin wrote home to Mama, said, don't you, Daddy put your money in no bonds. He said, sure. She'll beat you out of them. He says, I was going to get some, says, but I found out others were buying them and they wasn't going where they thought to help to. So when Monroe come home, I tell my son, ain't been but two kinds that I knew of. So he went and turned them in, and he told him when he turned that in, he says, I've been cheated out of a bond. I says, why? He says, well, I paid for three. He says, my mother said, didn't get but two. And I don't know whether to give him the $25 on another bond or not.
They're cheating on that bank shed. It didn't take much trouble just to turn that into a kitchen
well,
and everything.
What I was going to say, we tore it down. They threw all the furniture and everything out of it, you know. It
yeah.
used to sit east and west.
Yeah.
But we turned it around north and south and put that long porch on it. Got this imitation brick siding put on it. And beaverboard. I think it's what the beaverboard we put inside. And made a right nice little house out of it, extra.
Now, a carriage shed was always closed in, wasn't it?
one end and one side were partly the boards that fell off, you see. Well, we'd taken all that down, raised it up, clear across, made a kitchen out of it. To the packing shed, packing house.
Yes.
And then built that porch and a little room on the other side. I tore all that down, just take the old big part of it, tore it down. Taking the best part of the seals, for it was good lumber, good stuff that it was built out of. And did not put too much new. The only thing they didn't do
was that long sill.
We didn't put that in, long sill under the house.
If you had that under there, you could jump up and down.
It won't drop.
You know, right there where you sit, when I came here, that was rattly.
Yes, sir.
And what we did, we got a great big old heavy board and set it on two concrete blocks and put it under there. And you know, you can practically jump up and down on it. It makes a lot of difference.
Oh, sure.
Well,
we can get that center sill in. Well, when they built it, my husband wanted to go ahead and put it in then. Well, the man that was helping him said, oh, we can put that in later on, Mr. Frank. Said, we can put that in later on. Frank says, well, I'm afraid we won't get in there later on, Harry. Said, yeah, get the flooring down. Said, that center sill won't be under there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir, we'll get in there.
Who is that, Mr.?
Hair Smoke.
I don't know any of them. Is he the one who lives down there still?
On the corner,
yeah.
Right across from the door.
Yeah. Wait, was he carpenter, or just...
Yes, sir, he is carpenter, but I think he's called a first-class carpenter, but he is carpenter.
Sort of like me, a country carpenter.
He is... He can put up a house where it's set right and all.
Oh, he could. You just took your chances. You just took what he happened to get.
Oh, you see him and Frank and Frankie done the carpet.
Oh.
Now Frankie told his dad, says, Daddy says, I don't think you... says, you may be the oldest, and you may have worked on a lot of buildings in your life, he says it. I think you're doing wrong letting Harry make you think that we're all right without that center sill under there. You
yeah.
Just think, oh, never get there, don't. So Frankie went on, listened to Harry, Frankie begging him all the time to put
yeah.
it on there.
When I was, Mr. Frank was sort of easygoing.
Yes, sir, you're pretty easy going.
Except when it's the boys. Now he made them step.
I don't know whether he did or not when he made. You see, I don't know nothing about him when he was a boy.
Yeah, well, I mean your children.
Well, he made the boys stand around whenever he wanted something done.
Yeah.
But he didn't like them to tell him that this or that or that. But Frankie argued him to the last, and his brother Jim says, Frank says, I'm like Frankie. He says, I think you've done wrong by not going ahead and putting that center sill under there.
And brother Jim says so too.
He says, well, Jim says, we can get it fixed up. Maybe it'll hold up till we can do better. And Jim says, well, that's you. That's your money you paying out. Get somebody to help you do the work. Let it roll. So before Jim died, he says, well, says, I see the old house is getting pretty shaky, sis. I says, yes. I says, it's getting pretty shaky right here in the middle. I says, all you need is some fast music and get in the middle of this floor here and dance your jig right along.
Yeah.
I said, cause it's spring here, no, you don't have to music too much.
Now, Now, where did Jim stay when he was there?
Well, he slept in that Indian room there.
Yeah.
But when he left there, he went to Batchin on a house across the road. Let me see, did he go there first? Well, if you remember where the nigger church is down there. Well, just this, that, like this, going towards Wills. That is nigger church. And cemeteries all back in there where Mr. Johnson had a house back in here. Jim lived in that. I don't know what year it was, but anyway, he moved out of that house then in across the road here, up this way, in the house of Harris. Harris Smoke lived down here on the corner.
Where
his son George lived right in between then, his first house and Brock House. And then but Jim lived down here in this house below the nigger church. That's where he lived when he was married. He married Cecil Pardee's mother.
Why, you could just knock me down with a feather.
He married Essie Pardee. And she works over here at Palmer's. No, she don't either. Her body's up in the Meganova Cemetery somewhere.
Yeah.
It's her daughter that works down at Palmer's. Ready.
Yes.
So, Aunt Essie, she couldn't put up with Uncle Jim's ways. She's cranky old soul. One night he says, yes. Says, Essie says, where's your feet? Says, they on the bed. Why? He says, you must have them up around your neck, then. Strode up in a notch, you know. He says, well, I can't find them down here at the foot where they belong. He says, you must have them up around your neck. Well, I ain't.
Well, she couldn't get ahead of Uncle Jim, could she?
Well, finally, at last, she got ahead of him enough to quit him. He didn't do the quitting. She done the quitting. But she went to her grave as a chitty. Didn't change her name.
Oh. She kept that name. Well, was he a little hard to live with?
Mm-hmm.
From what you all say, I thought he was a pretty easy fellow to live with.
Oh, Jim had his faults. And he'd get mad at anything. Brooke cuss a blue streak around sometimes. I got to tell you, it don't do no good. Cussing don't take nothing out, no, don't put anything in, so. I guess I wouldn't pay no attention to him when he get on his high horse.
Well, is he the only one in your family that got on a high horse?
Well, Frankie gets pretty high sometimes.
You mean take after his Uncle Jim?
I mean.
Oh, you mean your
husband.
Your husband.
He gets pretty high sometimes. Rip and ran. Well, ain't no good. I know you should do that, it's just wasting your breath. I says, God ain't gonna appreciate it, but the devil will. And that make him stop, you know, make him. Right there, Jimmy, and he could ride him. And we used to get so tickled at the old fellas. He'd come in after working, you know, he'd come in, wash his neck and his face and all, pull his shoes up, wash his feet at night, you know. It wasn't too bad. The mosquitoes weren't too bad. He said, out on the porch. Well, called us supper. And he'd come in. Frank come in. And get the boys all. Like, that was for the old house. Then. The old big house. And Jim, sometimes he'd sit at the end of the table. Maybe he's at D. Really? Frankie? No, really? And I had to go. I don't know. I had lined up. Just as sure as them children got a biscuit on their plate. There are always two big plates, biscuits on the table, big dishes of meat, the vegetables. They'd take the fork, they'd get them a biscuit, put it on the plate. Oh, this old man I told you about, Mr. Manners, see, he generally sat at the end of the table, then Jim sat there. And maybe one of the younger children sat baby chair, you know, table chair there. And those, you know, they'd get them a biscuit, you know, and put it on the plate. Be big, maybe asked for something else they couldn't reach. And instead of taking the plate, they're just waiting for it to be passed around. And you see Mr. Mentor sitting here at the end of the porch, end of the table. He just shaking like he was having a chill. Jim had done taking his fork, reached over and got Willis or Martin's biscuit. And while he was laughing at them, if Mr. Matter didn't mind, Jim slipped a biscuit from him. Maybe a piece of meat, piece of sausage or whatever. That he could pick up right. One, maybe the one sitting in the chair, baby chair, the high chair.
Yeah.
He look around here. Willie, Martin, it's your Margaret. Can we say him good? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I had them all around the table, and Martin needed, I mean, from Jim Porter, doing it just for devil, man.
Yeah.
He'd take his biscuit, maybe hold it in his hand, and he'd stick way across the table now, get one of them kids' biscuits. And if they helped their plate up for something that that old person will give them, vegetables or something like that, while they're holding the plate up there, well, the bread would be there too, you know, and he'd be looking around. He'd return, get that biscuit. And Mr. P looked like he would die. And finally, if whichever one was sitting close to him, boom, just look at your biscuit. While he was doing that, Jim done swiped his biscuit. And the rest of us sitting at the table watching him.
You'd watch him do it.
One time I wanted something from down at the end of the table that we didn't have up there. I didn't plate the kids that went around this way, you know, and when he got that, this cornbread and all, got to come back on my plate. I said, Jim, what'd you do with that? Where are you putting all that stuff? Come find out he had his plate down in his lap, you know, and his jaw.
Oh.
Y'all have a biscuit?
Well, now, how could Miss Essie take offense at that?
No, she didn't know him then. He got older and crankier later on.
Oh, that was his day. She didn't know him in his best days.
No, sir, she didn't know him in his younger days. Boy. And poor old young one's caught it. Mine. Just as sure as one of them trying to eat. He'd get the table, bam, just as hard as he could live. The young'un jump up and yell about that table.
Oh, if the young'un nodded us, would he get a little sleepy?
He pan that one. Yeah. Boy, he'd holler, hey!
Oh, that'll make the plates rattle, too.
And I've seen poor little old Monroe when he was a baby. He sat in a high chair. Of course, the high chair was bought for Willie when he was little. Sitting there. And be trying to eat, you know. And Jim be sitting there. I don't want you to get in your mouth, boy. Oh, man, you're about to jump out of that chair basket.
Well, now, when he was getting older, you know, and he was had that gun out there watching for them hawks, and one thing another.
And he didn't want nobody to play no tricks on him either. He didn't want nobody to swipe his bread or meat or anything out of his plate, now mind you. But he'd just tickle him to death to get the meat or sausage or biscuit out of one of the kids' plates or Mr. Man. But one night, he wasn't noticing his plate. He was fixing to sneak something from Monroe's plate. And Mr. Manders seen what Jim, he said, he reached over and got Jim's meat and bread, you know, and laid it on the dish over here. And speak, we didn't have any, we had syrup pitchers, but we didn't even just use big bottles of syrup. Bottle of syrup, he said, man. He'd put that biscuit down, his meat on there, sausage, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the kids, if they seen it, they'd go to geek. And Jim, my little said, Daddy, Uncle Jim got my so-and-so, make him quit. He was so sleepy, he couldn't tickle Jim, you know. Jim. Boy, them kids laughed. Them that was wake enough.
And that got him.
He says, who's got my biscuit? Where's my piece of meat? I don't know, son. Jim, I ain't got it. And they're all so full of laughter, they never got busted. And then, too, sometimes he'd work so hard in the field that he'd come in, he'd get his plate fixed, you know, at night. He'd go all around here. Maybe take a spoon. Maybe had peas, you know. Next thing
you mean Jim would do that?
He'd be so tired.
He couldn't keep his head up.
Couldn't keep his head up. He goes to sleep, get his head down his plate, and the youngins lay. He'd straighten up and look at him.
Yeah.
He didn't like for him to lay, said he.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we could go fishing and come in late, have supper late. Kids all hungry and sleepy, you know. And Monroe most especially. Ain't no different where we went fishing at. We had been over there at a pond back over in that one. Can't think of none of them's names. And we'd catch some nice, some call them bass, some I call them trout.
Yeah.
About that long, nice big old warmouth perch, some pretty good size bream, maybe a few cats. Right, we'd have a big mess of fish. Go home, clean them, get them cooked. While Frank and the older boys would be feeding up. Sometimes we'd go and drive horse to the wagon. It wouldn't take us long to get back, you know. And the kids would be bringing in stove wood, and bringing up water. We didn't have running water. We had tote water from the pump to the house. And getting all that together, you know. And then I said, well, now you boys done got your wood and water in. Go ahead and wash. Now you won't have that to do when you get through with supper. Well, they'd get out there and they'd get fussing over the pan, or they'd get fussing over the foot tub, whatever they had. I'd go out there and get a tub there to pump some water up and wash out then. One get the wash pan, one get the foot tub. Well, I'm going to have a tub. First of all, while they get through the cleaning up, come in Monroe, he'd be so sleepy, it looked like he couldn't hold his head up. I would supper on the table, and he'd sit down there, and he'd be eating nothing else.
Get his chin down in his plate.
And he sit up and look around, and Jim sitting over there just laughing, just in a shape like a bowl of jelly shape. And Jim, I says, he's tired and he's sleepy. And maybe Jim wouldn't be close enough to him that night. Maybe he'd be down there. Trish's plate back. All right, Monroe. Don't go sleep that day, Bonnie. Next thing you know, Monroe. Just a screaming and looking wild as something was after.
Yeah.
And every time we went fishing and come in late, that way he'd have one in spells. If he didn't have table, he'd have they could go to bed. Huh. He said there was some kind of a dog after.
Now that's Monroe. Is that right?
Looked like a big old dog for that running eight.
Yeah.
And
but he'd come to and he'd just be scared to death.
He'd wake up screaming and a hollering like everything. Jim said,
well,
boy, if you was mine, I'd break you from that. So I'd take
he,
you down and I'd use a switch on you.
He like took him. After you, you know. Like you said, you was asleep there, but you could see your brother Jim or somebody pick up that feather.
Mm-hmm. And whatever it was that night. And he was the worst thing about scaring them when they would be outside doing the work. He'd sneak around the house and make a noise and scare them, you know. Make them run.
Oh, yes.
And
they'd
then,
think somebody was there.
Then in the wintertime, we had in the hallway in between the old kitchen, between the kitchen, a dining room, and the bedroom, big wide hole in it, huh? And over on the side next to the door, they always kept big old wooden wood box there. And it was always filled up with wood. Well, let me see. Monroe? Sir, go get a piece of wood and bring it inside and put it on the fire. Well, he'd run over there not thinking, you know, and maybe Jim would be outside there. Not knowing that Jim was that close in, and he was telling him to go get the wood, and I know he's going to be scared. Oh, he tracked this wood down one fly.
Why, you know he would.
And if they were out, if he was inside, and Dad told him to go get a piece of wood out of the box and bring in there, Jim would get out on it, had big old fluffy plush rug in that room. He'd get out on his hands and knees, and just as soon as they started for the wood, he'd get up, get out on his knees and hands, crawl up, get hold of the leg, like that, you know, make a snort. Always they'd scream. Frank said, Jimmy, he said, swear if you don't quit scaring them young ones, that won't be able to get them to do nothing in the broad open daylight. It could do him good. And I've been coming down from the kitchen end of the, there's just another building built onto the new house of Uncle Mark's Fort Burnt. There's a hole in this other part. Two rooms had been put on there for dining room, kitchen, big rooms. Maybe I'd be through in everything. I'd be coming out that door down that end of the kitchen, on the front part of the kitchen porch, say. Ain't no different from what I had. Maybe he'd be standing at the end of the porch on the ground. He'd have a stick or something up there, and he'd rattle it through them banister.
Yeah.
Make a noise.
Yeah.
Boy, I jump and scream. If I had a pitcher going after water, a bucket going after anything, and they got back almost as great the door, and he'd run up a step right behind me, you know. And one time I turned around and I let him have a pan full of water.
Oh, man.
It made him mad, but he knew better than to cuss me. I just throw more on.
He got his goat, did it?
He says, I didn't know you had water in that pan. I said, what'd you expect me to go out there if there wasn't water? And one time we were fixing for a Thanksgiving dinner. And I had all my cakes and pies and everything cooked and put away, you know. These little teensy tiny sugar ants was bad there. Well, I had to clear off the dining table and put me some little bowls about that big around with a glass or a cup in it. You're going to put water in them bowls and set my cakes and pies up on that. Other than a little ant to get them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're mean.
I don't know why I done it. But I was going. Well, now out of the dining room, back into the kitchen. Into the kitchen. And he was standing there, just a place about like that. There was a fireplace in, He was standing right in the corner, you know. And I just felt like there was something I couldn't see. And we had strength across that. My son cleaned up whatever I had. He jumped that when he did, I just dashed that kind of skin there for him. Ooh, boy, it made him mad. I got back in the dining room, got hold of the door, and he was trying to put it like that around the kitchen. I froze. I said, Jim, you know better than to run around here, a grown man like you are, me working hard as I'm working, hot and tired as I am tonight. And long then, Thanksgiving was pretty warm, you know, and in and out of the...
it can be.
And, me working like I was. I said, now, suppose I'd have had something more valuable than that piece of pan of skim milk. I suppose he'd been hot some. He says, well, I guess I've got it on. I says, well, I guess you better go on and leave me alone. I've got that mess to clean up. Unless you do it for me. I damn sure won't do it. I said, all right, get out of the way.
But it's worth the trouble.
I reckon he thought it'd been worth his scare a good bit if I had throw that piece of candy.
What happened that time when Mr. Frank scared you and you had been up there on the cistern on that scaffold getting some water and he said he got you that time? He says, where was your feet? You remember that? And you says you reckon they was down in the ground. You scared Spad?
I don't remember that.
What was that?
You didn't get me climbing up on those cisterns. No, Missus had a good cover on it.
Oh, yes. And he looked in the one cistern, and it was about empty, and he looked in the other one, or the barrel, I forget which. And it was about half filled, and you said you're going to use that for...
We was first made down south down. I reckon what you told me that.
Oh.
He come around the house there in a big hurry.
Yes, he come in early.
And I was busy, you know. He'd come up to get water. See, we use rain water down
there. That's right.
It's a big barrel of something. And I just said to myself, you know, well...
You had the barrel up there where things wouldn't get into it.
Had it covered up and all, and I was fixing to get back down. He come up behind me, boy, I swear, bucket, pan, or what it was. I had up there, and I turned around on him with part of a bucket of water one time. He was all kind of scary.
Yeah.
Jim, he'd come up there sometime. See, he worked down at the lake. He fished.
Yeah.
He had a fish tank down there. He'd come up sometime.
And that was up at your daddy's house?
No, it's where we were living. We lived across the road from Papa's. I forgot that's where Frank was batching. And we went in there. I had gone in from the front of the house. And I didn't see Jim when he went around. I didn't even know he was following me. Well, he's not coming. We got our drinking water down at Papa's. And I didn't know Jim was anywhere around. I heard he's down there fixing his supper, getting out ready to go out for a night to catch a fish. And I eased on through the house, put the water up, opened the bag going when I did. Jim says, I like to fell flat and float. And then Frank, he come on in behind me. He had two buckets of water. And he had seen Jim, and he just wanted Jim to scared me out of him.
Well, so they were used to batching.
Yes.
They've done that before.
Yes, they did that before. Frank fished some before he went working in the orange business.
Well, now, don't you know, you said Mr. Dupree batched over there a little bit too.
Who?
Mr. DP?
Oh, yeah. He batched back over there close to where Will lives.
Yeah.
He had a place over there.
Well, now, he did all right over there, except the boys wouldn't leave him alone.
Party boys.
Just the party boys.
September's gonna be a hot month too.
Now I cooked with your salt tonight, and I hope it's better. Thank
you. Oh, you did. Well, I'm glad you did.
There's your bread, Miss Jenny, right there.
Yes.
And there's no salt on anything except yours. And this is steak, but it's ground.
And it's salty, already salted?
It's already salted, so you, with your salt, so you try it.
Yes.
And see if it's, before you put in more salt.
It ain't salty, no.
I know you will. But I believe it's better when you cook, when it's put in while you cook it.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that. So you taste out it first.
Isn't this nice?
Where's Grandma?
Mother went in to get her tablets.
She has tablets. You don't have tablets like she does.
She has to take a few.
You don't know what I got to take.
You just eat salt. You just eat salt.
You don't know what I gotta take.
You,
I got two tablets in the morning, and two tonics in the mornings, and then one tonic at noon, and one at night.
No, sir, I didn't know you took a thing.
Yes, sir.
You take two tablets and two tonics at the morning.
In the morning. Take that green medicine to keep from getting sick of my stomach.
Yes.
Keep my stomach settled. And sometimes I got to wear. I had to take too much. I got to kind of cut down on that.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
Come on, we're going to eat it all up from you.
Oh. Well, I had to go in and get a pill that I take. So, yeah,
it's on a roll, Mother. I'm sorry.
No, it just rolled.
Miss Judy, will let you say the blessing?
May the Lord make us thankful for what we're about to receive. You ask for Christ's sake, amen.
Now, where's your girl song for?
Yeah. Do you need to go to the bathroom?
No.
Is this a new watch?
No, mother. It's about 12, 13 years.
It looks so shiny.
I haven't been wearing it much. I'm swollen, so you know, kind of afraid to wear it.
Not so. You got to use your salt? Did you cook with it anyway tonight?
Is it salty enough? No. I was afraid to put too much. Is it too salty?
Mm-hmm. All right.
The end of Channel 1 over. The end of Channel 1 over. Miss Chitty, Friday night, the 3rd of September, 1971. The end of Channel 1 over. The end of Channel 1 over.